Good to be here. It's lovely to see so many of you here. And today is our family service. And a few weeks ago, Pastor asked if I would just share briefly, underline briefly, a few thoughts on discipleship. And the reason for that is, in Kids Connection, we've got our kids in with us. It's our family service today. And the reason for that is, in Children's Church, they are looking at the disciples. They're looking at discipleship. They're looking at what it means to be a disciple. And also, here in Adult Church, all year so far, we have been looking at evangelism. And evangelism is being a disciple. It's telling others about Jesus. And also, this last week, at Women to Women, Pastor Debbie has been unpacking the vision for Women to Women for this year. And the main theme is that we are simple clay pots, but we contain a great treasure within us. And even if we're a bit cracked, even if we're a bit broken, that actually makes the light inside shine out better. So that tells me God is trying to speak to us, because every department, God's saying the same thing, and he's talking about discipleship. Now, you'll be glad to know that I'm not going to keep you very long. I'm going to keep it simple, and I'm going to get back to basics. But here's the thing, guys. It's good sometimes to get back to basics, because see, if we get the basics right, it's a good foundation for us to build everything else up. So I'm going to start with a scripture. Now, here's the thing. I prepared this weeks ago, because we're just back off the Women to Women weekend, and I want you to get ahead of the game. And our lovely pastor, Hugh, stood up last week. He's clearly looked at my notes, shared my scriptures, shared my points. And the poor man's not here to defend himself, so I can say that. If he was here, I would have been too feared to say it. Anyway, so ladies and gentlemen, I am going to read this scripture. We have heard it twice already. Third time's a treat, guys, so pay attention. So I'm going to read from Matthew 20, 18 to 20. Jesus came and told the disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, those of you who were in big church last week all have heard the pastor talk about the Great Commission. So what that is, this is when Jesus gave his disciples their instructions. They were to go out into all the world and spread the good news of Jesus. Pastor Hugh said last week they were given their marching orders. Get yourself out there and tell people about me, because that's the good news, and he is the saviour of the world. But here's the thing. That wasn't just for the disciples. That's for us today. God is asking us to be disciples and share the good news about Jesus. And as I was thinking about sharing at the family service, I thought, I would like to come up with a way to help us understand discipleship, but also remember it. So I've come up with a simple way. To start with, I'm going to talk about the three F's of discipleship. So hopefully that will help us remember and understand what discipleship is. And the first F, dead easy, we've actually sang about it already. It's follow. Because if you were to look up the dictionary and you were to look up the word disciple, what it means is follower of Jesus, someone who stays close to Jesus, someone who tells others about Jesus. And it wasn't just for the disciples, it's for us. We have to follow him. And I don't know about you, but what a better person to follow. Do you know, I've had many low times and tragic times in my life, and Jesus has been right beside me. I've had many happy and euphoric times, and Jesus has been right beside me. So why would I not want to tell others about Jesus? So we have to follow him. But here's the thing. We have to decide. We sang it. You've got to decide to follow Jesus. And actually what it means is, there is a word that disciple comes from, and it's a word that sometimes makes us twitch a wee bit, and it's discipline. And that means that we've actually to make a choice. We may have to set things aside. You know, when Jesus was picking his disciples, he would be walking along the shore, and he would be saying to Peter and John and James, "Stop what you're doing and follow me." He said to Matthew, the tax collector, "Stop what you're doing and follow me." And they had to decide to set aside what they were doing and follow him. So sometimes it takes a wee bit of discipline. Sometimes we have to make that decision. And sometimes we've got to make the decision daily to follow Jesus. And also sometimes we think of followers, we can think of it in a negative way. We can think of it, well, I don't want to be a follower, I'm a leader. I remember I've got a cousin, and she used to always tell a wee boy, you're a follower, you're not a leader. And I kind of understand what she was meaning. She didn't want him to follow the wrong people. She didn't want him going round the right path. But here's the thing. Here in Mossfield Community Church, we have got two pastors who lead us beautifully. We have a team of elders, and we've got Kid Connection leaders and many other folk who lead us beautifully in this church. But can I tell you guys, first and foremost, they're passionate followers of Jesus. And whatever God calls you to, whatever job God has for you, we have to be passionate followers of Jesus. So the first F is follow. The second F is fellowship. Now that is just a fancy Christianese word for spending time with somebody, getting to know them, hanging out with them. And if we're going to be good disciples, we need to be hanging out with God. We need to be spending time with God. When you meet new people, when you meet new friends, if you start a new job, if you start, somebody new comes into your class, what do? You hang out with them, you spend time with them. You might go to McDonald's, you might go for a coffee, you might go to the cinema, but you'll spend time with them, getting to know them. And that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. You know, when you get older and you're looking for a husband and a wife, you go out on dates, don't you? Why? To get to know them, to get to know their likes and dislikes. Pastor Debbie always says, to get to know whether they want chips or mashed potatoes, and that can be a deal breaker. Don't serve me mashed potatoes with my steak. Don't like it. So we get to know, so by spending time with him, but here's the thing, do you know what I love about God? Yes, he asks us to discipline ourselves. Yes, we've got to set aside time to spend time with him. But do you know, when we spend time with God, we feel better. Here's the thing, there's some mornings Mary gets up in the morning and I might not be my cheery self. There's some mornings Mary gets up and she's in a lot of pain. There's sometimes Mary gets up and she's very tired because she's not slept. And even sometimes, Pastor Debbie, I'm a bit grumpy. And I'll come downstairs and I'll make my coffee and I've got a wee box and in it it's got my Bible and my journal and my devotionals. And I will just sit in my corner and I will spend time with God and I'll read his word and I'll pray. Sometimes Mary just sits and thinks. I just ponder the things of God. And can I tell you something? See, by the time that's finished, yes, I might still have some aches and pains in my body. I might still feel a wee bit tired, but I'm certainly not grumpy because I've spent time with my God and he breathes life into me. He equips me for the day. So spending time with God makes you feel better, guys. You know, some people, and I know some people here in Mossfield this morning are doing life a bit hard. You know, you might have sickness in your body. You might have financial issues. Maybe you're having a tough time at work. Maybe you've got complex relationship problems and you're maybe a wee bit heavy. But see, when you decide to come to church, something happens. You come into church and our wonderful praise band leads us in praise and worship. And before you know it, you've taken your eyes off your circumstances and you're focusing on God and you're thinking how big, how wonderful, how marvellous, how awesome he is. And those things start to fall off. And it doesn't just end there, because then we sit and we hear the word of God and the word of God brings life into our situation. The word of God encourages us. Do you know there's over 3,500 promises in the word of God? There's something in there for everybody and stuff left over. You can have an extra double portion. And here's the thing. So you come and you spend time with God, and yes, you might go out and maybe you've still got some problems. Maybe you're still dealing with the situations you're dealing with, but can I tell you, you'll go out feeling better. You'll go out more equipped to deal with your situation, because spending time with God makes you feel better, guys. So we follow him and we fellowship. We hang out with Jesus. And the third F is the easiest, and that is to fish for others. Now, what do I mean by that? Do I mean we have to get big hooks, hook people and drag them into church? Now, quite frankly, I think that sounds like awesome fun. I would love that. I would love that. I really would love it. But please don't do it, because you'll get into terrible, terrible bother. And Pastor Hugh's not here, so don't say Mary Stewart said we have to hook people in, because I'm not saying that. So what do I mean? What do I mean by fishing for others? Well, I'm going to read Matthew 4, verse 19 in the Message. Jesus says to Peter and Andrew, come with me. Some versions say, follow me, and I will make you a new kind of fisherman. I will show you how to catch men and women. What do we mean by fishing for others? It's simple. Sharing with others our relationship and our experience with Jesus. Letting others know the good news about Jesus. We've all got a testimony. Jesus has been so good to us. Why wouldn't we? Why would we not tell others that good news? So that's the three S of discipleship. Hopefully you'll remember that. Follow, fellowship, fish. But here's the thing that I love about God. Yes, he calls us to be disciples. He tells us that we have to follow, we have to fellowship, and we have to fish. But he doesn't leave us high and dry. He then goes on and tells us how to do it. And the lovely Matthew is going to come and read a portion of scripture from Matthew 5 for us.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the flavours of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, you won't taste people's godliness. You've lost your usefulness and you'll end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out God's colours. If the world's God is not a secret to be kept, we're going public with this, and public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand now. That's how I've put you there, on a hilltop, on a light stand. Shine, keep open house, be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God's generous Father in heaven.
Thank you. Didn't he do well? Thank you, Matthew. So here we have it. Don't you love the Message version? There's no messing about the Message, is there? I love it. So that was from Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. And this is God giving, he's telling us how to be disciples. You know, as Christians, our actions and the way we live our lives, the way we treat people, can have a positive influence in the world around us. You know, the way we live our lives and the way we treat people can point people to Jesus. Pastor Hugh said that last week. I swear he read my notes, he did. So here we are. The Bible's talking about salt. Now, actually, in the Bible talks a lot about salt. And back in the Old Testament, if you're brave enough to read Leviticus, now Leviticus is a difficult book, but it's full of dead interesting stuff. There's hundreds of information in there. And in the Bible, salt was seen as a valuable resource. And actually in Leviticus, you read about people making salt covenants. Now basically what that is, it's a really strong promise that can't be broken. It's like a contract, and they use salt to seal the deal because it was valuable. But they use salt for lots of things. I mean, back in Bible days, they didn't have the lovely big fridge freezers that we had to keep our Coke and our milk and our stuff nice and cool and fresh, no. So what they'd done is they got their meat and they absolutely covered it in salt. They would wrap it up and they would store it in a dark, cool place, sometimes underground, and it would keep their meat fresh for ages and ages. Salt was also seen as a symbol of fellowship and hospitality, and actually still today in some Arab countries, it's still seen as a symbol of hospitality. And actually in some Arab countries, when people are out for dinner, you'll see them doing this wee thing with a pinch of salt, and it's just like a wee symbol of friendship. Salt has also got really good cleansing and healing properties. Now, I was brought up in a family, my nana was a nurse, and salt was the be-all and end-all. And it didn't matter what went wrong with you, salt figured in the solution. You got your ears pierced, get them bathed in salt water so you don't get an infection. You skint your knee, get that bathed in salt water and that'll be fine. Sore throat, gargle in salt water because that'll sort you out. A stain on your T-shirt, get that soaked in salt water and it'll be fine. But guess what? It worked. It worked. So salt has got cleansing and healing properties. But the way we probably recognise it most of all is in our food. Now, when Mary is having a treat, I don't have it very often, but if Mary's having a fish supper, I've got a favourite chippy. However, the wee girl that works in it, she's needing a wee injection of joy, okay? She's not the cheeriest wee soul. And I'll go in and I'll order my fish supper and she'll say, are you wanting salt and vinegar on your chips? And I always say, yes, plenty of salt. Why? Because it makes my chips taste better. And that's we add salt to our food. Why? Because when you add salt to your food, something happens. The food absorbs it. The food takes it in and it brings out the best in the food. It brings out all the best flavours. And if anybody's cooked their potatoes and cooked their veg and they forgot to salt them, it's very bland. It does not taste good. So, as disciples, as followers of Jesus, God is telling us we need to be salt so that we can bring out the God flavours in the people around about us. That's what we want to do. Because here's the thing. Back in the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, when God created man and woman, he made us with one head, two arms, two legs, eyes, ears, the whole thing. But he also made us to have a relationship with God. We have a God-shaped space in here, and only God can fill it. But something's happened over the years and over the centuries. Men and women have walked away with God, but they were still created to have a relationship. So what happens is they feel a bit empty. They feel as if there's something missing in their life, and they'll try to fill it. They'll try to fill it with sports and hobbies, maybe alcohol and drugs, relationships, throwing themselves into their career because they're trying to fill that empty space. But only God can fill that empty space. It's like if you do a jigsaw. Remember COVID when we were all doing jigsaws to pass the time because we were bored out of our box? I don't even like jigsaws, but I was doing them. Anyway, it's like a jigsaw. So if you ever made a lovely jigsaw and you've got it finished, you think, fantastic. And then you notice there's a piece missing. And it doesn't matter how nice that jigsaw looks, there's still a piece missing. Well, that's the way it is with people who don't have a relationship with God. Their lives might look lovely on the outside. They might have wonderful relationships, wonderful jobs, lovely homes, but there's something missing because they don't have a relationship with God. And that's where we come in. As disciples and as followers of Jesus, we have to be salt. We have to bring that saltiness. We have to bring out the God flavour in the people around us and point them to Jesus so that they can then enter into a relationship with God. And then they'll have that missing space filled, and then and only then will they feel whole and complete. And the other way we have to be disciples is to be light. Now, if we were in this sanctuary and it was night time and it was pitch dark outside and there was no lights on, you would barely see the hand in front of you. But if I was to stand up here and light a match, even the smallest of matches, if you were standing up in the balcony, you would see the light from the flame of that match. Why? Because light breaks through darkness. And we are living in a world that can be very dark at times. We're living in a world that's full of bad things and full of sad things. And that's why we need to be shining our light. We need to be bringing that light, that hope, to our communities, to our schools, to our families. And that hope is Jesus. In fact, Jesus is our only hope, folks. So we need to be bringing, shining our lights and bringing that hope to the people that we meet. Now, by sharing your gifts and by sharing your talents, do you know that you can inspire and uplift people? Do you know that even the way you live your life, just the way you go about your business and treat people, do you know that you can inspire and you can impact people? Do you know that you might not even have to say a word? Now, don't use that as an excuse for not telling people about Jesus, but sometimes you don't even have to speak. But by being kind, by listening, by helping, you're shining your light and you're being salt. There's a famous quote, a pastor again quoted it at the beginning of the year. Some people say it's Francis of Assisi. We're not getting into any debate over that. I'm just going to share the quote. And the quote is, "Preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary." What do I mean by that? What I mean is sometimes our actions speak louder than our words. Words are important. But, you know, showing the fruit of the Spirit. And all you guys in Kids Connection, I know you've covered the fruit of the Spirit. You know all about that. So love, patience, kindness, long-suffering, even those people that get on my rig, even those people that rip our knitting, we need to be patient with them. That's showing the fruit of the Spirit. So actually, our actions can speak louder than words. I always say I believe what someone does more than I believe what someone says, because sometimes words are cheap, sometimes words are to a penny. So we need to take on board the way we treat people, just the way we live our lives. We can be shining and we could be salty for Jesus. It's just as important. And here's the thing, there is a lot of lost people out there and they have lost their way. And just like a lighthouse shines their light and it helps the boats and the ships avoid all the dangers, avoid all the rocks and sail safely into harbour, we need to shine our light so that those lost people can find their way home, so those lost people can find their way back to safety. And do you know where that safe place is? In the arms of Jesus, because that's what they were created for in the first place. So, we're called to be disciples, we have to follow, we have to fellowship, we have to fish, we have to be salt, and we have to be light. But here's the thing, sometimes if we're not careful, our lights can get a bit dulled. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we lose our flavour and we lose our saltiness. So here's quick ways to stay salty and to keep shining bright. Firstly, we need to be spending time in the Word of God. The Word of God is life. It teaches us so many things. So we need to be every day spending time in the Word of God, allowing the life of God to infuse us so that we're ready for the day. And that way, our lights will be bright and we'll be really salty. We also need to be praying every day, talking to God. And you know, it doesn't need to be fancy prayers. I talk to God all the time, asking for parking spaces and bargains in the shops. I do. I'm not going to lie. I talk to God about everything. And here's the thing. When I was a wee girl, and I know this is going to come as a great shock to many, but I was a chatterbox. I was a chatterbox, and I used to absolutely get on my mother's nerves. And my mum was a lovely, patient woman, and I loved her dearly, and she loved me. But sometimes I got on her nerves, and sometimes she'd say, for goodness sake, Mary, will you not be quiet for 2 minutes? Here's the thing, do you know that God will never say that to you? Because you can talk to God for as long and as often as you want. In fact, the Bible tells us he inclines his ear. He bends down to hear what you've got to say. He's interested in you. So we need to spend time talking to God. We also need to be bold and not be afraid to share with others about Jesus. We also need to not be selfish. We need to be thinking of ways that we can be kind and be helpful and be a blessing to others. It doesn't need to be grand gestures. It might be a smile and a good morning. You might be the only person that smiled and said good morning. That person might be praying for someone. It might be taking them for a coffee. It might be just going and hanging out and listening to their stories 4 and 5 times over. But that is being salt and that is being light. And most importantly, we need to keep God and the things of God top of our priority list. Because here's the thing, we live busy lives, don't we? We've all got different things. We've got sports, we've got hobbies, we've got school, we've got work, we've got families. And very easily, the things of God can slip down our priority list. And that's when our light gets dull. That's when we lose our saltiness. So we need to be disciplined and do all those things. Spend time with God, talk to God, not be afraid, and just keep the things of God top of our priority list. And see, if we do that, we will shine bright and we will be as salty as we can and we will win many souls for God. I'm nearly finished, who says hallelujah? So I don't know about you, but I want to be the best disciple that I can be. I want to be as salty and I want to shine as bright as I can. And maybe you do too, but you're here this morning and you're thinking, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I'm brave enough. Maybe you feel afraid. Maybe you feel, I don't even know if I've got the right words. Maybe you're thinking, what will people say about me? Maybe they'll laugh at me. But you know the lovely thing about God? He calls us to be disciples. He tells us to follow, to fellowship, to fish. He tells us we have to be light and we have to be salt. But do you know what? He sends us a helper. That's how good God is. Now, have you ever been in the middle of playing a game on your phone or watching Netflix on your tablet and it runs out of charge? It's a bummer, isn't it? It happens to me all the time. Here's the thing. God has given us a power source that never runs out of charge, and that power source is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit brings us comfort. It teaches us. He leads us in the right direction. He gives us the strength to do things that we can't do on our own. All we have to do is ask him, and do you know what? He will help us. He will give us the right words to say. He will bring the opportunities across your path. He will bring the right people across your path so that you can share Jesus with them. And remember that verse that I read at the start from Matthew 28, verse 20. God is always with you, every day, everywhere you go, even to the ends of the earth. So yes, God is calling us to be disciples. He's told us how to do it, but guys, we're not doing it alone. God is with us. So my challenge, Kids Connection, my challenge, Mossfield this morning is let's challenge ourselves to be the best disciples that we can be, to be as salty and to shine as bright as we can. And let's draw on the power of the Holy Spirit for that boldness and for the opportunities to share our Jesus. And let's pray that this year in Mossvale, we will see many, many souls saved for his kingdom. Amen. God bless. I'm handing over to Gail.
Amen. Thank you, Mary. That was food for thought, wasn't it? Fantastic. Thank you, Mary. At this time, we're going to lift up our tithes and offerings. So the large box here is for our